Welcome to the Grateful Shows podcast, exploring the world of Grateful Dead live shows through history, philosophy, fiction, and poetic meditations. I'm your guide, host, and author, J.Y. Pod, asking you to join me as we take a step back. This edition of Grateful Shows takes us back to May 7th, 1980, a Wednesday night at Barton Hall in Ithaca, New York, on the campus of Cornell University. We'll do the first set this episode, and then feel free to join us next episode for the second set. Shall we go? Grateful Shows, Tour Book 1, Show Number 3, a meditation on Barton Hall, Cornell University, Ithaca, New York. Wednesday, May 7th, 1980. A Journey Towards Deadhead Mecca. Set 1. Jack Straw. At one point during the drive from Pennsylvania, a kinship formed with the pilgrims traversing the Saudi desert on their quest to reach Mecca. The once-in-a-lifetime Hajj lasts 5 days and includes, among other rituals, cleansing, brotherhood, unity, and transformation, all under the banner of shared ideals. Much like the deadheads who gather tonight at a Mecca of our own making to carry the weight of those unable to continue. In the charming town of Ithaca, New York, on the campus of Cornell University, stands Barton Hall, a nondescript building of stone, wood, and steel. A barn that, inside, has preserved the remnants of a show so legendary it's housed in the Library of Congress for safekeeping. But any deadhead worth their salt could instantly pull two or three comparable, if not superior, versions from their collection. We are 3 years too late to see a show some consider as historically significant as The Birth of Christ, while others dismiss it as overrated or not even the best show that week. Deadhead consensus is impossible. For this reason, your intrepid explorer is here to tell a different story. This is the story of the Grateful Dead at Barton Hall, May 1980. But enough with the intro, let's get into it already. A roll and a bang and off we go. All is forgotten or remembered by a lucky few as they dive into Jack Straw, a barometer song. Wait for Jerry Solo for a quick preview of tonight's action. You keep us on the run. We feel a presence, ghosts passing the baton, urging us to raise the bar higher, even with the new guy. Slipping and sliding, we ride through the solo, entirely engaged in the controlled chaos. Weir keeps us honest as Garcia double dips, a frenzy of guitar magic, once again leaving a mark on this small Western New York town. Yes, more fanning, please. The first song is in the books, dissolving any perceived nervous energy about maintaining the Barton Hall standard, a label placed later in the decade by pundits and historians. Take a step back. As Jerry plays the Cornell alma mater, it's back-to-back, take a step back. But even this version is a far cry from 1977. Then again, we are talking about perhaps the greatest take a step back in history. Tennessee Jed. Here is more proof that practice makes perfect, on account that they are known as the Just Exactly Perfect Brothers Band. We're talking about learning a lesson after what song to play after the take a step back. China Cat brought chaos, and we don't need any more of that. Jed's deliberate amble offers a chance to actually take in our surroundings. Hell, we've even got time to sing along. There ain't no place I'd rather be. Damn straight, but we'd sing that anywhere. What is it about this specific building that makes it so special? Tonight's mission, unlock the legend hidden in the cracks of rocks and wood, the conduit between fantastic creatures and mystical elves harboring memories from the previous decade, and find out if they're willing to dish out some of the magic in exchange for a shirt from the lot. It would be just as easy to ask an on-campus senior who actually attended the show, but in this case, it's better to skip the middleman. The rules clearly state that memories must be pure, extracted directly from natural materials. If so, the band has graced us with perfect conditions for an expedition. The current relaxed pace allows time to get ready, claim some space, and maybe make a friend or two along the way. The venue is filled with receptive faces, hungry for a taste of the simple life. We want to include the word cadence somewhere, but unfortunately, we don't know where. Jerry answers with some excellent guitar fiddling. Do violinists use cadence? How about hillbillies playing away just for fun, way up on the mountain, out of earshot to all save for the wildlife gathered for a party? It's a wholesome and laid-back time of year, filled with the unmistakable scent of fried catfish and pecan pie drifting through the rows of patrons. Smells like victory. A mere two songs in, and already you've got them eating out of the palm of your hand. Not a bad way to earn a living, huh, boys? The song ends. A very deliberate tuning telegraphs Cassidy. Go ahead and bet the house. I've got five on it. Cassidy. With sights set firmly on the Mississippi River, we move away from the Appalachian Mountain Range, which gives way to the Cumberland Plateau and continues towards our destination. The mind can drift in a geographically linear way, or it may detour, bearing north to linger in Kentucky at some of America's most immaculate horse farms. Here, a thoroughbred awaits. Cassidy is the name of the young horse you've been tasked with. Feel its power, speed, and unrelenting will to move forward. Understand its intrinsic desire to be first, to win at all costs. It has the spirit of a winner, but you must turn those dreams into reality. Brent and Bob's voices juxtapose with yours and your ride. Together, you'll embrace the challenges of life. Fresh and young, you know no better. In tandem, you hear the dead weave in and out of the song until only the music and an overwhelming desire to ride remain. Chomping at the bit, your horse makes a run for it, riding the vibe of the outro jam. There is nothing you can do but hold on for dear life. As the sun sets in the west, you race towards it, a bid to reach nightfall first. This is your destiny. You will thrive in the dark, exploring nocturnal vistas and the dreams of poets. A string of sound guides you as you blindly continue deep into the night along this shared path. The song ends with no sign of the rider and the horse born to rule the night. Row Jimmy. Another mid-tempo offering. We've got all the time in the world, the band says. But Jerry, you are no spring chicken. You look and move much older than a man in his late 30s. Time to bust out the old, he's put more time into his years. A catch-all phrase used to stave off underlying issues. A story easily pushed down the road to next year or even the year after. Push it until the recoil is too powerful to resist. Listen to the guy play. Look at all the happy people. Why let an inconvenient dose of reality ruin a good thing? Let us pose to you a simple question. Does this Row Jimmy offer you a moment of grace? Remember, a yes indicates complicity in his demise. Night after night, he serves up a piece of his soul for us to consume, disseminate, and devour. And for what? As a copacetic bunch, it is our duty to offer a pathway to salvation, yet we remain curiously silent, despite our pledged community values and love for our fellow man. Maybe the slide guitar solo has us in a trance, unable to offer the desperately needed intervention. Or is it because we need this just as much as they do, and both of us are reluctant to give it up? Not when the music is this smooth, anyway. Bro Jimmy has been cleansing as it has been troublesome. Yet ultimately, we see what we want. Our current observations are entirely speculative. None of the band members appears to be suffering from visible health issues. It must be the amplified paranoia talking. The Row Jimmy finishes with an array of levers pulled, buttons clicked, and plugs filled to ease our worried minds. Our fears mollified, we clap along with the rest of the crowd as the music segues into El Paso. El Paso. It's Bob's turn to tell a story, a favorite. And for those scoring at home, this is the third tune shared between the 1977 show and tonight so far. So what, you say, shifting the topic to waterfalls of all things. Waterfalls handle thousands of gallons of water a day, yet none of those gallons are what you call a repeat, unless you subscribe to the theory that water that has dissipated into the air to return as rain is made up of the same molecules that originally inhabited the nearby Finger Lakes. And even though the water itself is constantly changing, lakes and waterfalls have established names. Likewise for the music. The song is a repeat in name only, as the musical style, much like water, varies over the years, tours, weeks, and even shows. You may have a point, but so does Bob, And thanks to the somewhat unnecessary dissertation on the hydrologic cycle, we just missed the majority of El Paso. It is important to know that the hero dies at the end of the song, a fate we will most likely bring upon ourselves if humanity continues to abuse the planet at its current pace. Another take a step back. This time, followed by Easy to Love You. A Brent tune, refreshing, even quaint. He definitely has the pipes to pull it off. Brent wasn't here 3 years ago, and neither was Easy to Love You. But it's a new era, and we bought the album on its release day. Imagine the surprise when Brent sang on 2 of the 9 tracks. Can't say any of the tunes excelled in the studio, but seriously, how representative are the Dead studio offerings? Exactly. Even this song has more bite live, short and sweet, just the way your lover likes sex. Althea. Another track from the new album, but don't hold it against them. A contractual agreement with the wonderful folks at Arista stipulates that fans must be made aware of current music at a rate of at least 80%. 3 Altheas in 3 nights comfortably exceeds this quota. For us, it isn't about the numbers. We want a slow, extended solo, letting the pain linger until we can feel no more. Bachelor Jerry speaks truth through the heart of experience with a sincere reading. Or so we are told. Our dalliances with love are painfully brief. And so it is unimaginable for a girl to fall for us so hard that we must consider bachelorhood as the only way to solitude. Our association with solitude is the loneliness of remaining single. Valentine's Day was the worst. No flowers were placed on your desk at school with a note written in the unmistakable cursive style of a girl. No wondering who, quote, you know who, unquote, is. The intensity of living in dread, wishing time away, is palpable. The day continues as you walk home alone from the bus stop, wondering if you'll ever go on a car date or even get to hold hands with someone. Enter the house. Don't look. Don't feel. Maybe the world will somehow disappear. And there's no point in going outside. The only thing waiting for you is more disappointment. Unloved and useless, you search for another word that starts with the letter U. Those words tend to match your undiluted pain. Become a U-shape on your bed as you weep, silently hoping that at least your mother will poke her head through the door to ask you about your well-being. But the door remains closed, the walls silent. You dare not ask for attention. It takes all your strength to watch the rain you create in your mind to justify not facing the world. Further concentration reveals those painful images of the past inside an Althea solo. Face them. Burn them. They can no longer harm you. Shake with an inner rage until the song subsides. You are relieved to have these memories of feeling unlovable removed from your system. But as you watch them scatter and take up residence in those around you, you wonder at what cost to others. Feel like a stranger. 3 shows, 3 strangers. Last night, a second set appearance. Tonight, relegated to first set duty. The second set placement was great, especially how it folded into a He's Gone. This version hasn't taken off yet. It idles slowly, stuck in gear. If you can't find it, grind it, as we used to taunt our bus driver. First set, 8th song, perfect chance for things to get strange, because so far, they haven't. Bob croons that it's going to be a crazy night, but we doubt his conviction. This show hasn't been crazy at all. In fact, it's mostly stayed within the lines rather than veering in and out of them. Phil, bless his heart, seems to have read our minds because he finally makes a move. Determined to push the set further, he digs in and we eagerly follow his groove. Sparse and tense, things are getting stranger. Let's do this. The Dead finally inject some psychedelia into the show, and don't underestimate Brent when it comes to weirdness either. His funky synth lines echo Garcia's faux screams into the void. A ghostly mood settles in. It's time for some strangeness as the set nears its end. Now it'll be up to Jerry to either deliver a killer finale or set up Bobby for a musical exploration to keep us engaged until the second set. Don't ease me in. So much for that. And you can strike any strangers from the room while you're at it, too. The opposite of strange. Don't Ease presents the crowd with a short note rather than an in-depth exploration of life's meaning. Hey, the world needs ditch diggers, too. Sometimes you win and sometimes you get this. And for those betting on Music Never Stopped or Let It Grow, you should have put your chips on red. The best Jerry closer we could have gotten was, maybe a deal. So, fuck it. We'll dance in a perfunctory manner to a perfunctory song in a perfectly ordinary part of America. But you can't make us like it. Okay. We'll admit we did a little air keyboard during Brent's parts, and we might have cheered for the Garcia solo and possibly high-fived some guy next to us. But that's all. The real musical treasures are found in the second set anyway, and the quicker we get there, the better. End of set. Bob says, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes, so everybody hang loose. If this reading of Grateful shows has given you something to sit with, I'd be glad to have you along for the rest of the ride. You can listen on whatever platform suits you best. The link is in the show notes. And if you'd like to go deeper, the written work behind these readings will be available as a complete tour book upon finishing the tour. Again, the link is below. A short note on Podchaser would mean a great deal at this early stage of the show's life. And if you'd like to receive occasional communication about the writing and what's coming next, the newsletter sign-up is in the show notes too. Thank you so much for listening.